Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Bennett, and each week we, of course, discuss UFOs and the paranormal. I hope you all enjoyed last week's show when our guest was Renee Jorgensen, and we were talking about near-death experiences. I really enjoyed listening to him, and I'm very interested in that topic, especially in how it relates to out-of-body experiences, which I think are actually just like a near-death experience, except it's controlled, and you don't have to be near-death. In fact, most people in their lives will experience some type of out-of-body experience. And for those people who've listened to my show, they know I'm very, very interested in this topic. I did actually write a book about it, and I've had several very interesting guests on the show to talk about this, including, well, Marilyn Hughes, for one, who wrote a series of books about her own out-of-body experiences, and also Luis Manero, who is the director of the International Academy of Consciousness, which is an international organization which studies the out-of-body experience. So that's why I'm really, really excited about our guest tonight, who is David A. Warner. And we're going to be talking about his own out-of-body experiences. And what's really exciting about our guest tonight is he's not only extensively studied the out-of-body experience, he has actually experienced it. And he has put together a very fascinating website, which is www.invisiblelight.us, on which he's put journals of his out-of-body experiences and also a bunch of research tools that people can use, beginners and advanced projectors alike, to research this topic. So it's a really exciting website, and I think our guest has got a lot to say about the out-of-body experience. And we're going to talk about how he started doing it, some of his amazing experiences, and how you yourself might be able to have an out-of-body experience. So, David, thank you for coming onto the show and joining us tonight.
Hey, Preston. Thank you for having me on. It's definitely an honor being on your show.
Oh, it's really an honor for me as well. As I said, this is really one of my favorite experiences. I started having out-of-body experiences as a result of my mom dying, actually. I got interested in paranormal subjects. I read about it. Mm-hmm. Picked up Robert Monroe's book and tried the exercises, and it worked.
Cool.
So I'm totally a believer, of course. I mean, all it takes, I think, is having one of these experiences to really convince you.
Mm-hmm.
And so how did it start for you?
Well, how it started for me, I mean, I've been at this since like 1987, and I was introduced to the OBE through a friend of mine, a high school friend, Matt G. And I was staying the night over at his house, and this was in Detroit, Michigan. And, you know, we're just messing around. I'm playing guitar, and my friend's reading this book on astral projection, which is commonly known as. And the book cover had a woman laying down sleeping, and she's clothed, and you could see like a transparent ghost image arising from her body. And the one thing that really caught my attention was that she was naked. So you could see her breasts, everything, and I'm thinking to myself, what in the world is he reading? And I asked my friend Matt, I thought he was reading something like from Playboy, Penthouse, some Harlequin romance novel. Yeah, as far as it may seem, but he explained to me about out-of-body experiences, astral projection, and right then and there, it just grabbed at my soul that I had to know if this was real or not. And there was just so much desire and passion and fire just pulling at me continuously until I had my first experience that I knew he wasn't lying, and he was definitely telling me the truth, and I could kind of relate to what he was talking about and past experiences that just didn't make sense. And as he explained to me about the process and certain things that you could do in the OBE and recognizing different the different vehicles of being able to project, it started to make sense. And that from there, that moment, that day, I pursued it for 2 months, and you know, I was just, you know, just driven to succeed. And after that first experience, 20 years later, I'm still here, and I'm you know, I'm glad to be able to share my story.
Well, so how long did it take for you to actually like start doing these exercises to actually having your first out-of-body experience?
Well, when I first started out, it actually took me 2 months to have my first OBE. And that was like in the summer of 87 in July. And the exercises and everything that I was working with, it prepared me. It definitely gave me insight in how to actually project and to get to there, but it really, you know, my experience came from a different angle that I wasn't really, you know, prepared for, or that I was actually thinking that experience would, you know, present itself. So, you know, as an example, I was training on more or less trying to wake up in the dream and project from that dream state versus going into a trance state while you're drifting and falling into sleep, and the trance state is in between awakening and falling into sleep. So if you can catch that window of that opportunity, you can actually enter that state and leave your body. I didn't realize what was happening, so I entered that state where I was trying to learn and develop the techniques of going a different way about it. So it really took 2 months to really come full terms of how I actually got out. And then, I didn't understand about the trance state. I just took it like, well, this is how it is. And then as I started reading more books and more authors and talking more to more people about this, then it started to make sense. And as I started to document this and write down the numbers of how I was entering the trance state, the dates and times and everything, then I saw, you know, the relationship between, you know, the either a false awakening or an OBE going into a dream point, and that's how I was able to come about and recognize it.
Right. Well, I know exactly what you're saying. I mean, I've had OBEs from, you know, awakened consciousness state, or from projecting out of a dream state, or just waking up already and finding myself out of body.
Mm-hmm.
So it can happen in many different ways.
Yeah, I classified it like three different ways. The false awakening state, like what you just said, waking up, not even realize that you've actually projected.
Right.
And those are the experiences that are the most profound and just memorable, that just leaves no question and doubt that, you know, it's real. But if you can do, you know, the one level up of projecting from the trance state, that's even more powerful. But, you know, going from a dream into the OBE, it still can be as powerful, but, you know, those other two I kind of lean towards more, because that is something that I'm really fluent at doing. The dream exit into the OBE is a little bit more difficult for me.
Right. Well, I mean, is there a difference, you think, between a lucid dream and an out-of-body experience? Or are they essentially the same type of thing?
I do believe there's a lot of characteristics that are the same. And, you know, the lucid dream, from what I've seen in the past, from my experiences being lucid in a dream, is, you know, testing and analyzing the environment. And what I mean by, like, experimenting and testing is, like, validating, let's say you're out and about and you see a clock on the wall. You know, you read that time, and at that time, you know, says, like, 12 o'clock, for an example, you look back, you look away, look back at it, and then it says, like, you know, 10 o'clock p.m.
Right.
You know, those are the, you know, the differences, because it's not static and consistent. As for the OBE, you know, everything is consistent, and it's static, and you don't have that you know, incongruities that actually surface within that lucid dream. Another thing that I've noticed is that you can be projecting, and while you're alert and conscious in that, you know, on the spiritual side, which is called the astral world or astral plane,
right,
is that you can actually be daydreaming. Because there's many times I'll start projecting and I'll go about and I'll start losing consciousness briefly, and I'll start to think something else and I'll start to daydream it. So that's how I kind of recognize, you know, the lucid dream as a daydream as well. And then going back, breaking out of that semi daydream, I still find myself back in the same environment where I was. Not returning to it, but being there in the moment in that time, and then daydreaming on top of it and going off with, you know, some other, you know, tangent, but then returning and realizing, snapping back that, hey, I'm back in the body, this is where I am. So those are the different layers and, you know, the dynamic and the fluidity of the OBE and the different levels of consciousness that I've seen and through my experiences.
Right. Usually for me, it's pretty easy to tell when I'm in the physical world, out of body, as opposed to being in like a dream, lucid dream. But sometimes it's not so easy to tell. So
it's
pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's I like the false awakenings because you know you think you're up, you're going about, and you know it's I don't care what it is. I mean, you could be hit me over the head with a frying pan, and I still think I'm up.
Right.
And it's you know I finally return back to the body, and then I you know finally waking up, and I'm thinking what the. You know, wow, that's just absolutely amazing, you know.
Right. Now, at one point when I was going through all of this, I became obsessed with this idea of proving to myself that I actually was out of body.
Mm-hmm.
And did you ever have that, like, problem, or was that something you ever felt like you needed to do?
Definitely. I mean, that's something that, you know, when you approach this field of study and this research, and trying to prove life after death, it's a personal thing. And, you know, on a level, you know, when you have a first OBE, wide awake induced experience, I mean, you know, there's just absolutely no way that, you know, a skeptic or a scientist or, you know, somebody that does believe in it, you know, you can share your story, but they're the ones that really have to be in that experience
right.
to really, you know, hit home and understand how impactful it is. As for, like, validations and, you know, parallel consistencies between the spiritual and the physical world, yes, I've definitely had those. And I'll explain briefly. When I first started up with, you know, projecting, yeah, I was on fire trying to prove all the time. And there was a real lack of, you know, spirituality and, you know, faith and religion in me when I was going about this.
Wow.
I would say that was probably the first 7, 8, 10 years of my, you know, projecting, I guess you could say, career. I really lacked, but once I started to turn over and, you know, started to turn over to God and Christ and opening up spiritually and becoming more of a humanitarian and helping people, my experience started really open up, showing me definitely solid concrete validations. And again, this comes down to I can share my story, I can tell you all about the validations until the cows come home, but it's the person that has to really do the work to really get there. And a lot of it is being honest with yourself, being, you know, skeptical too, and being scientific and not just taking each experience like, oh yeah, it's true validation. But once you start seeing physical, you know, correlation and spiritual correlations, it's just awesome. It's just mind-blowing.
Oh, I'm totally right there with you. I mean, for me, this having these experiences totally transformed my life. And I'm one of 6 kids, right?
Okay.
And my family was pretty skeptical, so it was it made for some interesting conversations. And I was wondering how this kind of related to how you relate your experiences to your family and how it changed you.
Yeah, normally like around, you know, dinner time, mom and dad, my brother and sisters, you know, so what did you do today? Well, I left my body and I went to the moon and then the other side of the universe and I met God. Well, that's nice, honey. Brian, next. No, I actually, in the beginning, you know, they were very, very skeptical and, you know, they still supported me, and they knew my character in life. You know, I'm kind of wild and, you know, animated and can, you know, be out in left field many times. But they saw the passion and sincerity in me that, you know, this might be something here. And as I started to report my experiences to my family and my loved ones, and how, you know, from, you know, step one to step 20, and these are the things that happened in between, then it started opening up a little more. And then once I started to pull some information from, you know, my closest, you know, family members, like my dad or my grandmother or through my uncle, you know, yeah, I started coming back explaining these things to them, then they, you know, would actually be, like, kind of dumbfounded, like, there's no way he knew that. So, you know, they started to really look at that and say, you know, there might be something there.
Right. It's interesting. I think it's interesting how the better of a person you become, sort of the more gifts you get, in a way.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I mean, in the last, you know, I guess 3-4 years, actually about 4 or 5 years now, as I, you know, started, you know, becoming more closer to God and developing a relationship with Christ and opening up my experience to OBEs, I've had encounters where I've been blessed with an angel encounter and experience, and at the end of the experience, she explained to me, you need to do a little bit better on your verbal language, in other words, my colorful metaphors of, you know, swearing. And after that experience, it's like, who am I to argue with an angel? And for the last year now, I don't swear because of that. There's been other things, too, like when I, you know, I was a social drinker in the past, and, you know, for a while, it's like, here I am trying to remove that aspect of my life. And, you know, one morning in the shower, I'm like praying to God, hey, give me a hand here, you know, with, you know, drinking. And, you know, I want to lose weight, and I kind of want to start feeling better about myself.
Right.
Never had any problems with drinking, but as I removed that completely with, you know, the help of God, 3-4 months later, my OBEs are like tripling. And then 3-4 years later on top of that, it's like, I'm on fire where it's like I'm tracking, I'm working on my book. I became a hospice volunteer companion to the dying. And, you know, I've been really avid about learning the Bible and other different religions like Islam and Judaism and shamanism and just all types of different levels of consciousness, awareness, and just how this has just really, you know, devoured me because of, you know, giving myself to God and the intent and how everything is just so beautiful, and what comes from the OBE is what I can actually start giving back. And, you know, that's just, it's just like the icing on the cake, and I would have no other way.
Right. So, well, it's interesting. There's all these different pathways to becoming enlightened. And what I think is really interesting about the out-of-body experience in particular is, well, I mean, people call the astral body the desire body. And going out of body, I mean, if you go out of body, I think it becomes really clear how thoughts are things and how really what a powerful effect our own thoughts really do have.
Oh, yeah.
Because on the astral planes, I mean, you can create worlds quite literally.
And then that's kind of like that daydreaming thing that you can start creating and then come back, you know, and realize, wow, I started creating that. Or while you're, you know, awake, you know, wide awake, and, you know, in the OBE, you can start creating things, as you said, and let them materialize.
Well, I think, and the more clear you can make your mind and basically overcome the 7 deadly sins, so to speak, because I think most people here on Earth are saddled with at least one of them, and that's why we're here for a lot of reasons, is to elevate our character. And if you can do that while you're here, this is when your out-of-body experiences really do increase, because your consciousness is free of all that, basically.
I agree 100%.
So I think that's a clue for a lot of people. I mean, anyone out there listening, that's one way to start having these experiences. I think a lot of people are very interested in trying to have an out-of-body experience. Would you say that these are safe experiences? I mean, is it safe to try and go out-of-body?
Well, you know, I've been here for 40 years of my life, and, you know, the last 20 years since I've been going out of body, you know, I've seen both, you know, ends of the stick. It's, you know, I've had the negative experiences, and I've had the, you know, the positive, beautiful experiences. And most of, I'd say about 95% of my experiences are all positive. with. But you still got to have that other 5% to realize, yeah, you know, that is definitely there, and it's like, I don't want evil, and I don't want to go down that road. And, you know, I've been down that road, and I prefer to stay on the other side of the fence, you know, in the white light versus going into the darkness. But as for, you know, like OBEs, it's really, you know, the first time, you know, going back to my experience, I can read all the literature I want in the world, but, you know, what happened in that day, and, you know, it just, you know, I wasn't expecting it. And so, you know, as much as you can educate yourself, and when you have the first experience, it might be a smooth transition, or it might just be like the experience I had was like, you know, a plane landing, you know, crash and burn type of experience, but it's a wide awake wake-up call. And it was a good wide awake up, you know, slap in the face call for me, but I realized that, you know, I'm not going to have it, you know, always, always good like this, because there's so much that I need to learn from good and bad. But as for going out of body, you know, I'm still here. I've had over, you know, a good couple thousands of experiences, and, you know, I've still safely returned back to the body. And, you know, if somebody's interested in pursuing this, you know, you got to really educate yourself, and you got to look at your intent of how you want to go about this. What do you really want? What's your motivations, and what's your prime mover behind it?
If it's for greed or lust or anything like this, it's not going to work, I don't think.
Yeah, and, you know, it's I'm so lucky and so fortunate that when I first, you know, had that experience, it's just like how, you know, really kind of like an overnight transformation of how I thought in the past about, you know, race, creed, people's beliefs, you know, economical, you know, income levels, you know, poor versus the rich, and, you know, I'm driving the $20,000 car and you're driving the $5,000, that makes me know it better. No, it doesn't. You know, we're all the same, and it's just how you perceive it, and, you know, you got to go across that line, you know, to help that person, and, you know, they're just like you and me, everybody, and it's just a very beautiful experience, and going about it in an intent of, you know, being blessed and going to help out, you know, people that are less fortunate in the world or who might, you know, be dying, that you can be there for them. So that all stems from the spirituality of what I've learned in the last 20 years, and it's definitely positive.
Wow. Yeah. You know, for me, my motivation for going out of body was to meet my mother, basically, after she had died. It took me a couple of years at least to do it, but I did eventually have this amazing reunion with her.
Okay.
And I was wondering, have you ever met with, like, deceased loved ones or, like, enlightened masters? I had this one amazing meeting with this enlightened master on the other side, I guess you would call it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you had any, you know, things like that.
Yeah, about a year ago, like last spring, I actually bumped into my grandmother and my uncle who had passed on. And at first, it, you know, I was out of body, and most of my experiences start from my mom and dad's house, my parents. And when I was in this experience, I went outside, was doing a few things, testing and just looking around, and then I went inside the house, and I briefly lost consciousness. And then I remember waking up on a bed, like it kind of reminded me of, like, of some attic area. And as I awakened, I'm looking to the right of me, and there's my grandmother in the chair. And, you know, we're talking about, like, you know, we just, you know, she hasn't passed on from the physical, like, you know, she's still alive, and I'm just carrying on a conversation, hey, what's up, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
And then when I started to pull through consciously, becoming aware, I'm like, wait a minute here, you know, I am out of body. Then I, you know, sprung to my feet, went running towards my grandmother, giving her a big hug and saying, you know, I love you. And I just felt the energy, you know, interchange between her and I. And as I, you know, the scientific, analytical person that I am, I started analyzing my grandmother, you know, where I would look away, look back at her, and, you know, she still kept her shape and form. And then as I started really intently focusing on her, I could see, you know, the aura, the energy around her vibrating. And it's like, wow, this is just absolutely awesome and beautiful. And then after that, then next to my grandmother was my uncle, and, you know, we talked, and, you know, I hugged him. I said, I miss you dearly. I love you. And so on. And after end of the experience, my grandmother showed me this box, a wooden box of some sort, and she opened it. And as she opened it, I looked inside, and I had lost my awareness. And then from there, after I had wakened, I documented everything down first to my pocket PC and on to, you know, writing it into the computer so that way my mind wouldn't start embellishing. And then as I explained it to my dad and my aunt and, you know, family and friends what had happened, they basically looked at it as my grandmother, she was always fond of giving gifts. Even though she was not rich and, you know, she lived in a means of always trying to give gifts to people out of love. And that is something, you know, the coincidence, the link between that was so powerful that, you know, it can't be disputed saying that, yeah, you know, why would she give me something like that? You know, she always had some kind of gift to give, and that was just awesome that she was able to do that.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, everyone, you're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Bennett, and our guest tonight is David A. Warner. And we're talking about his amazing out-of-body experiences. He's got a very interesting website. It's www.invisiblelight.us, which is dedicated to the research, the scientific study, the religion, and the spirituality of the out-of-body experience. So, you know, it's just really a treat for me to talk to you, because a lot of what you're talking about is very familiar to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, another question I wanted to ask you about the out-of-body experiences is how it's, again, how it's affected you. For me, I wrote this article, The Healing Power of Out-of-Body Experiences, because I found over 20 cases of people who were actually able to heal themselves of physical illness.
Okay.
And I've never been able to do that. And I found, like, 5 cases of people who were able to move physical objects while out-of-body. Another thing that I was never able to do, although, let me tell you, I have tried. And things like that. One thing that did have a profound effect for me was after having an out-of-body experience, I would come back with a dream memory, which was precognitive.
Okay.
So pretty much every time I came back from out-of-body, I would have a, you know, precognition the next day, which I learned later is very common. So I was wondering, did you have any of these types of experiences as well?
Yeah, just a matter of fact, last Monday, I'm working on the document right now and the actual video of it. Now, I bought a video camera a few months ago, and it's one of those high definition ones with a 60 gigabyte hard drive, and, you know, it's just, you know, awesome. So, you know, I'm like thinking, well, I'd like to be able to conduct an experiment. And I was on a radio show a week ago on APSR Productions, and the host that I was talking with, he had asked me like kind of like the same question, but on the lines, have you ever noticed anything when you'd go out of body and your dog's picking up any type of signals or, you know, communication between you while you're out of body? And yes, on many occasions I have had that. So that got me to thinking. And I explained to him on the show, my intent will be to try to, you know, pull myself into the OBE, and I wanted to have my Scottish Terrier, Leroy Brown, you know, on the bed, you know, snoozing along with me, and then I would try to project. Now, last Monday, I set out just to do that, and I got the results and a lot more than I asked for, and I'm going to try to be as brief as possible, but there's just so much into this that, you know, I wrote up the document. It's almost like 5-6 pages long, and I also have video to support my claim on this. Now, what had happened is roughly about 8 o'clock in the morning, I got up, And normally I don't get up early because I work third shift, and I come home like around 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. About that time, my wife's leaving for work. So this morning I got up, saw my wife out the door, and wished her, with love and, good safe trip to work and so on. And so I decided to grab my Scottish Terrier dog, plop them out in the bed, and I got the video camera rolling. And then a couple hours later, I had tried to actually project during that couple hours, but I kept on waking up with certain things, disturbing me, and then I'd immediately fall back to sleep. Now, when I had finally awakened, I had awakened in a false awakening, and that's when I thought I was actually getting up physically, okay? And so my dog, Leroy Brown, he was with me on the other side, and he started to move up closer to me. And as he started to move closer to me, I'm petting him and rubbing his tummy, and he started getting closer. And I feared that as I kept rubbing him, I would get too close, and I didn't want to, go there, rubbing him any lower. So I sprung to my feet, and as I started walking towards the door and Leroy started running, my other two dogs, Scottish Terriers, Kaya and Spirit, they came out of nowhere, and they're running with my dog, Leroy, from the basement, upstairs, and into the living room. And as I caught up with my three dogs, immediately I noticed on the carpet that my one dog, Spirit, and she's still a puppy, she had an accident, and she urinated on the carpet. And I'm like thinking to myself, great, I'm not too cool with this. It's like, one day you're going to learn. So I let the dogs outside into the backyard, and I looked outside. It's just raining, and it's kind of dismal and overcast and cloudy, and, it's year fall, October in Michigan. And as I, shut the door and let the dogs do what they wanted to do, then I went into the kitchen, and I'm looking down at the table. And as I looked at the table, I saw this work schedule, and I saw, my writing scribbled out, and then on top of the writing, I saw numbers. And these were representing the times that I had to be at work. And as I looked at those numbers, back and forth, I'd, look away, look back, and, they didn't change. And still, I didn't think I was actually up and about, out of body. So I went into the front room, and I'm watching what was on the TV, and it just so happened to be some guy jumping, like some stunt man jumping out of an airplane, trying to conduct some kind of stunt and to land on a big jumbo jet, like an air passenger jet, into the cockpit area. And I just ignored it, and I'm like, what is this about? So I went downstairs, and then I opened up the door to the front of the house, and I'm looking out, and it's still raining outside, the dismal, cloudy, overcast weather. And as I was looking out, immediately, I was pulled back to the body, and within about maybe a minute or so, I'm finally waking up, and I'm looking at my dog, Leroy, and now we're in physical, space, not on the other side now, and I'm just looking at Leroy, and I started to narrate the whole experience as best as I could, so that way whatever was on video was captured, and I knew the video was still rolling, so I'm like, cool. And then after that, then I got my pocket PC, and then my memory started to come back a little bit more in depth, so that way I could narrate it a little bit better, adding a few more things that I had missed out on the video. So after that, I went upstairs, my two Scottish Terriers, they're up there, and, there was no accident, and then, Leroy's, still on the bed. I'm like, okay, it was a great, experience. At least I had it, then I can just document, put it in the notes, and put it, upload it to my website. So I'm like, okay, we'll try again later, later again. So an hour later, projected, and this time I was in a different environment geographically on the other side, not by my dogs, or my dogs were with me where I was communicating. I was on the other side of Michigan by my folks' house, and the experience ended. So, no big deal.
Right.
Now, the next morning, which was last Tuesday, I get up, tried to do the same thing with the video, got the video camera going, and Leroy's on the bed. And for about a good hour or so, the other two dogs upstairs, they're restless. You know, they're making noises. I can't get to sleep. And they're panting with their little paws on the cage, and I'm hearing the, you know, the metal going clunk, clunk, clunk. And I just got to the point where I decided just give up. I'm like, okay, one dog's going to go downstairs and the other dog's going to remain upstairs, so that way you two are broken up. So I go upstairs, and the first thing I started thinking, I'm going to have Kaya. She's going to be downstairs in the crate, and then Spirit can stay up, you know, in the upstairs. So as I'm trying to let only Kaya out, Spirit slipped out, and before you know it, the door breaks open, and the two dogs are running downstairs. And I'm about maybe 2, 3, 5 seconds behind them. And I'm running downstairs, and as I turn the corner out to the left side of me, I'm looking down at the carpet with the two dogs, and Spirit urinated on the carpet, just like I had seen in the out-of-body experience. And, you know, the chills started going down my spine right then and there. And then the next thing I started thinking, okay, I'm going to look outside. Is it raining? I open up the door to the front door, and it's raining.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's like there's just so much there right there, the precognitive experience, you know, the being able to capture it on tape. And as I reviewed the tape more, you know, the first 5 minutes before the experience even happened, there's no noises on that tape in the house. Okay, and there was no noises coming from inside or outside the house, even if you just, you know, pushed levels up really, really high. You can't hear anything. And up until about the time of the experience, at least a good 2 to 3 minutes beforehand, my dog, Leroy Brown, briefly lifts his head up. He looks around, and then he lowers it and goes back to sleep. Then about 30 seconds later, then you hear a couple noises of my two dogs upstairs, just a little noise, and that was it. And then 30 seconds later after that, the noises go again, and then Leroy finally wakes up because he heard, you know, the sound of the dogs making. They weren't barking, but they were making noises with their paws and rattling the cage. And Leroy is up and about just looking around, and within about maybe 30 seconds to a minute after that, then I finally come around awakening and realizing what just happened. So, you know, the consistency and the time frame of all this going down, you know, there was definitely a connection without a doubt. And to have it next day to validate it, you know, right there, it just, again, you know, those chills started running down my spine. And,
right.
You know, I'm just absolutely, you know, stunned. And it was just, like, cool. It was just, you know, an experience definitely for the ages. And this is not the first time, because, you know, over the last 3 years since I've gotten really serious into documenting and to tracking all this, I've had over close to, like, 30 to 40 validations. And, you know, as you track the consistencies or the coincidences or the synchronicities or the validations, you find in your tracking that you just cannot, you know, say it's just hallucination or false memories or this or that triggering it. You know, there's definitely something behind the curtain, you know, and, you know, pulling the strings. There's definitely something there.
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, they were coming every day at one point.
Mm-hmm.
So I totally understand what you're saying. Doing out-of-body experiences, I think, raises your awareness somehow.
Oh, yeah.
And really connects you to other people and makes you want to be a really good person.
Yeah, I mean, you know, from my point, when I first had, you know, that first experience, I realized, hey, you know, it's just not about me or about claiming some big prize or wealth or just because I have this and you don't. No, it's about extending myself to humanity and helping, you know, the fellow man and woman and just being there for people and sharing, you know, what I can give and what I have to offer. And, yeah, it's a very humbling experience.
Yeah, it truly is. And, Let me see. So were you ever able to, did you ever have any, like, a healing-type experience, or did it physically ever affect you?
I never had, like, any kind of, like a physical, like, maybe I had, like, a gash or, you know, a scar or anything like that type of experience, but I think more on, like, on a spiritual level of, you know, like I said, going back to where, you know, I wanted to lose weight, and, you know, I can't go to the gym, you know, working on the treadmill, then rewarding myself with a 40-ounce Heineken. It just doesn't work. But as I, moved away from, you know, drinking, I haven't touched, you know, drinking in 3 years now. And, you know, that's an experience in a way of healing.
Absolutely.
Spiritually, and, you know, bringing me full force and, you know, reading the Bible and learning about different religions. And, you know, I'm a hospice volunteer. So in a way, a spiritual loving, you know, healing that it has helped me with and opened me up a lot more than I ever imagined.
Well, another thing I wanted to ask you is, have you ever, like, gone out of body and gone to meet family, friends, or anybody and tried to tell them that they're out of body as well and they don't believe you?
Yeah, I've had those experiences, and the majority of them, you know, would return, you know, negative results. And, you know, that right there, that's like a whole different can of worms and trying to experiment, because, you know, that other person might not be ready at that time or open to it.
Right.
And, you know, I find if you really try to go at it scientifically, really hardcore, you know, I want that validation and I'm going to prove, like I tried doing in the beginning, versus, you know, being open but also scientific and being patient with it, you'll definitely see your results. But, I mean, to really answer your question, no.
Well, it's very, very interesting. So, over the years, your experiences have evolved, would you say, or are they still, do you pretty much have the same types of experience you've had since the beginning?
They've definitely evolved. And, you know, I measure, you know, my experiences by, you know, the length, you know, of duration, and definitely the quality of experiences. You know, I'm trying to learn more of the spiritual side and try to actually resonate and move into the higher spiritual levels of the astral plane. And I've been able to actually get into those levels. And again, like I said, being taught by, you know, angels and being able to see, you know, what, you know, you read by different authors, you know, like what heaven's like, and what, you know, the communication between a higher spiritual being, you know, that they teach you, it's just, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's a totally different, you know, totally different level from, you know, when you first start off just trying to get out. You know, and then when you do get out, you might be able to get out 5 feet and pull it back versus, you know, going into the higher spiritual realms. It's just, you know, that's what I'm shooting for, and, you know, trying to relate, you know, my experiences and, you know, letting people understand, you know, it's just not a simple little process that takes, you know, it's like a fast food, you know, drive through. You know, here you have your OBE, you're out, and, you know, that's it. It just doesn't end. It never ends until you physically do, you know, move on from this level into the next level.
Right.
And you just keep advancing.
Yeah. For years, I could only stay out of body maybe a minute or so. And I finally was able to lengthen it to, you know, a good 20 minutes or even longer in several cases.
Yeah, yeah. But, I've gotten up to those. And I have found that, like, in the beginning, you know, my experiences are immediately documented, write it down. You know, maybe a couple lines of text, you know, rejected, rolled out of the body, fell on the ground, you know, looked out and was pulled back. And then before you know it, as the years go by, you know, my experiences, I think my longest one to date, when I was really on fire back in the day, I had like 15 pages front and back.
Wow.
You know, a total of 30 pages on just one experience. And, you know, I can't really measure the time on that, but it was a long one. It was a very long one. So you can tell the difference between a couple of lines versus, you know, 30 pages.
Right, right. Well, Marilyn Hughes, she talked about how she was able to retain consciousness through the entire night. which is something I've never really been able to do completely, but I've kind of darn close back in the day when I was really doing this strong.
Uh-huh.
I was very close to being able to do that.
That's awesome.
It's really amazing, I mean, what you can do. And another thing I wanted to ask you is, and when I would go out of body, was, you're right, it took a long time to get good at it. I mean, I had to learn how to move, I had to learn how to see.
Mm-hmm.
It took me a long time to just get away from my bedroom and out of the house. But after I got better at it, it became harder to stay in the physical world, and I'd pop out into the, I guess you would call the other side or the higher dimensions, which for me became almost like the real world. I mean, it's so much more vivid and real and vivid and in color, and words fail to describe it. I just wondered what you felt about like the difference between the physical world and the other side, the heavenly realms or the astral planes, whatever you want to call them.
You know, I respect both levels, and I like here in the physical world, you know, I'm in heaven now. And, you know, when I get to the other side, I'm even heaven and then. And, you know, I don't leave my body just for the intent of just, you know, projecting and going on some, you know, wild experience. You know, I go out because, you know, I want to learn more spiritually and move up into the higher planes and bring it back to help other people. And, you know, as for this level too, you know, my heaven's my wife, my family, my three Scottish Terrier dogs, you know, my coworkers and the people I encounter every day. And, you know, I'm a computer geek, that's my heaven too. Or, you know, I'm a musician, I'm a composer, writer, and, you know, that's my heaven too. So, you know, it's just, you know, an extended opportunity to be able to be blessed, to be able to project like, you know, we are. And, you know, I know a lot of people just don't have that luxury to even to be able to project one or two times in a year. And, you know, I'm not trying to put this special hat on here, but, you know, it's a lot of training, it's a lot of patience, and it's like never, ever giving up. And you got to be training for, like, the World Olympics and never, ever stop. You got to be thinking about it 24/7 and give it everything you got. And, you know, but going about it, you know, being patient and realizing, you know, things do come in time and it will come. But if you have the desire, you'll have that experience. But, you know, between the both levels, you know, I love the physical. I don't want to depart this world anytime soon with a near-death experience or passing on into the physical, you know, into the spiritual world. So, you know, it's what I make out of it. And, you know, I'm very fortunate to be able to get that taste before death.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Having an out-of-body experience is a very helpful to would be helpful to a lot of people who, if they only had the, were able to overcome their skepticism and to take the discipline and just give it a try.
Yeah, I mean, skepticism, when I first approached it, you know, my friend had told me about this, and yeah, there was a lot of skepticism in me, but, you know, I was also open to the possibility, and when I opened to it, you know, I had that first experience, and that skepticism, you know, boom, went out the window. And, you know, still, when I do have an experience, I will test. I always test just to make sure, and it's never proved me wrong that, you know, it's all, you know, in the head. But, you know, skeptics, you know, I totally respect people's, you know, faiths, religions, and creeds. And, you know, if people could open up just a little bit and see that side of things, you know, maybe we would be in a little bit more kinder world, maybe more of a opening and loving world to each other and respecting each other's beliefs and practices and, you know, who we worship or what we call God, if it's, you know, if it's Allah, if it's Yahweh, Jehovah, God, or, you know, the great spirit eagle, maybe... You know, maybe that's something that would open people up to and to respect people's, their experience and who they are in life and what they, you know, practice.
Right. Well, according to a lot of experts, everyone has out-of-body experiences every night. They just don't remember it. And I think that's true to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
So I think everyone does have the ability to at least do it.
Oh yeah, they do. I mean, it's a natural thing. I mean, a lot of times, you know, people will slip out of body not realizing it, and as they're drifting into that trance state, you know, they're making that, you know, separation toggling between physical and, you know, and the astral, you know, the spiritual consciousness going into that body. And, you know, something in the house will trigger a noise, and they immediately get snapped back, and they feel those little shivers running up and down their spine, and they feel like that little, that eeriness, you know, the whole emotion, kind of like mystical feeling behind it. I mean, there's a lot more there's just to it, and, like, I agree with you 100%.
Right, right. So you're going to be working on a book, perhaps, to put about your experiences?
Yeah, definitely. I'm working on a book, and the book is going to be called Invisible Light. And the book, I'm hoping to have it out like in 2010. And it's just something that, you know, getting the discipline to actually sit down and start typing and, you know, my thoughts and, you know, the experiences. I mean, as for the experience itself, I mean, you know, online that I've documented, I mean, the last time I did a tally on how much data that is on there just for experiences, just for audio experiences, is over close to like 50 to 60 hours. And that's what, like, I've narrated over the years. As for, like, text journals, that's at least a good 2-3 months worth of reading right there. And, you know, on the video. So a lot of that, I want to create this book to where it can interact with my site. You know, I can definitely pull from the memorable experiences, like, you know, the validation that I had last week, the experience that I had with, you know, angels and guides, basically also showing that, you know, when I first started out, you know, I didn't go to the other side of the universe. I mean, it was all, you know, showing, like, a part of learning how to crawl, then walk, then, you know, like, then to run. And even to realize, you know, even though you're doing great with the experiences and you can be out for, you know, 10-15 minutes, but you're going to have those experiences where you're going to be out maybe 4, 5, 10 seconds and you're going to be pulled back. So, you know, I'm not a guru master. I'm definitely experienced, but, you know, I still have my experiences where I might be out 5, 10 seconds and I'm pulled back, or I might be out for 5 to 10 minutes.
Right.
So, you know, it's just a thing that you got to develop, and you got to be patient about it. So I also want to, you know, include, you know, like a bibliography, how I came about this, and, you know, how I've been able to overcome certain things, like within, you know, what we talked about, you know, with family and, you know, people think I'm going down the, you know, the dark path, you know. You know, I wanted to be a little comical too, throw some, like, pop-ups, you know, like in children's book, you know, you pull the little pop out, and then, you know, the guy comes out of his body, you know, in the book, and do a little coloring, be a little different, you know. That's
right.
That's the comedy, the flair for humor I have. But, you know, I want to be totally down-to-earth, realistic, not editing myself and saying, hey, this is what has happened, this is how this experience has helped me, and hopefully sharing my story to you that, you know, you can learn from it, and hopefully it can guide you into the right direction.
All right. Wow. Well, David, it's amazing. We're pretty much out of time, but it's been a great pleasure talking to you, and I want to thank you again for coming on to the show.
Definitely. It was definitely enjoyable, you know, talking with you, and definitely want to keep in touch and communicate with you on your experiences, and we can share data and, you know, do our own tests and definitely rise to those challenges and just learn from one each other. And you know, I wish all your listeners, you know, the best. And if anybody has any, you know, questions whatsoever, come to my site, send me an email, and, you know, definitely start filling out that guest book, too.
All right. Well, our guest tonight, thank you, David, again. Our guest tonight is David A. Warner, and we've been talking about his out-of-body experiences. His website is www.invisiblelight.us. If you want to go there and learn more about his experiences and the out-of-body experience in general, it's a great website. It's one of my favorite subjects, and I think it has the power to transform humanity in a very powerful and positive way. So I hope you've all enjoyed the show tonight, and that perhaps you can join us next week when our guest is, let me see, Michael Newton. And he's going to be talking about strange Indiana monsters. He's a cryptozoologist. So that should be a unique and exciting show. Until then, I hope you all have a great evening.